It is such a joy to be with you this morning in this beautiful sanctuary. I haven't had very many opportunities to worship with you in this sanctuary, and each time I come, I'm just amazed at the beauty and the acoustics. The choir just sounds magnificent, and the organ music and your singing. One Friday afternoon in May, Pastor Mark at Riviera Church phoned me and said, "I have two questions for you. The first question is, are you home this weekend?" "Yes," I said, "we're home and our grandchildren are here with us." And then came the second question, "Can you preach Sunday?" Wow, I thought. Three little children running around the house, an almost three-year-old, and a pair of almost two-year-old twins. Now that I'm retired, it takes me a long time to get a worship service together. And I didn't know if I could do it all in one weekend, especially with a house full of company. I couldn't give him an answer then. I said, "Just let me think about it overnight, and I'll let you know in the morning." In the hours between the phone conversation and my orchestra concert that evening, Psalm 23 came to my mind. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need." I felt a sense of peace and assurance, and I sent a text message to Mark, "Yes, I'll preach on Sunday." The Lord is our shepherd. We have everything we need. A friend shared with me recently that she says those words every day of her life. Such beautiful, life-empowering words. Our reminder that God is present everywhere, all of the time, offering the gift of grace and loving presence. I'm reminded of a story someone shared with me a long time ago about a five-year-old boy by the name of Timmy. His mommy worried about him walking to kindergarten. It was just a short way down the sidewalk, but she wanted to walk with him and follow him to school each day just to make sure he got there safely. Well, after the first week of school, he came home and he said, "Mommy, I don't want you walking with me to school anymore. I want to walk with the big boys." Well, she didn't want the big boys to be in charge of him, and so she asked her neighbor, Mrs. Goodnest, if she'd be willing to follow kind of far enough behind Timmy as he walked to school so that he really wouldn't notice her. And Mrs. Goodnest said, "Well, I'm always up early with my toddler, and it will be a good exercise for us, so I'll be happy to do that." So the next school day and for the next week, Mrs. Goodnest and her daughter, Marcy, set out following behind Timmy as he walked to school with another neighbor boy that he knew who lived on the other side of the street. She did this for the whole week, and as the boys were chatting and walking along, the boy who was Timmy's friend said to him, "Have you noticed that lady following us all week? Do you know her?" Timmy said, "Yeah, I know who she is." "Well, who is she?" the friend asked. "Well, that's just Shirley Goodnest," Timmy said. "Shirley Goodnest? Who is she? And why is she following us?" "Well," Timmy explained, "every night, my mom has me say the 23rd Psalm with my prayers because she worries about me a lot. And in the prayer, it says, Surely Goodnest and Marcy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I guess I'll just have to get used to it. A humorous reminder that our hope, our confidence, is in the Lord our Shepherd, God who is with us every day of our life, God who is with us now and is actively creating and walks with us into the future and leads us beside still waters. We live in confidence because we have a guide. A guide has been there before us. I remember taking my first grade class on field trips to Marineland. Some of you probably don't even remember Marineland. This was a long time ago, before I was a mommy or a pastor. And I still remember the sense of relief I felt when the bus arrived safely and the guide was there as the children stepped off the bus and she would lead them in safety and to the places of interest. Or think of the first time experiences you have had in life. A new class, a new job, time spent in the hospital, first time planning a funeral for a loved one. Do you remember how comforting it was when someone helped you through the process? A guide is someone who has been there already and has the confidence to lead us through the uncertainty. Someone has written that the 23rd Psalm is about traveling mercies. God, the Good Shepherd, leads us to green pastures and beside still waters, guides us down the right path, feeds us, restores us, shelters us, looks after us. Traveling mercies. When I was in college, I had a long walk from the far side of the campus over clear across the campus to the music building, which was on the other side. I'll always remember the day when I was walking along that path, feeling so very anxious. That night, I was to play a violin solo accompanied by the woodwind choir at a concert in the music building. The director of the woodwind choir had put together an arrangement especially for me to play on the violin. And I felt I just had to do it, if for no other reason, because he had gone to that all that work to create that accompaniment. But it was the worst case of stage fright I had ever experienced, and I thought, I can't do this. I wanted to run in the other direction. But the living Christ met me on that walk and gave me the new strength that is promised in the psalm, traveling mercies. We have just celebrated the 4th of July weekend, and so I thought that the hymn, America the Beautiful, was so appropriate for us to sing at the beginning of the service today. Catherine Bates, the woman who penned those words, felt her soul and her body restored when she saw the beauty, the glory of God's creation, God's handiwork in the Rockies. She and some other teachers had traveled to Colorado to teach summer school. And at the close of the school, they decided to visit Pikes Peak. So she wrote about that experience. She said, "We hired a prairie wagon." Remember, this is a long time ago. "Near the top, we had to leave the wagon and go the rest of the way on mules. I was very tired," she said. But when I saw the view, I felt great joy. All the wonder of America seemed displayed there with a sea-like expanse. And it was there that the opening lines of the hymn floated into her mind. And when they left Colorado Springs, the four stanzas that we sang this morning were penciled in her notebook. And it first appeared in print July 4th, 1895. I'm sure you have experienced it too, that God restores our souls in the beauty of creation. And it's so important to keep our eyes and our hearts open to the wonder before us. In life that is uncertain and unpredictable, it is no wonder that this psalm, this prayer, this hope, this promise for traveling mercies is so loved. Of course, we all know that ultimately nothing can guarantee the security we desire for ourselves and for our loved ones. Viruses invade the body. There are tornadoes and cancer and heart attacks, train wrecks, airplane crashes. But we turn to this psalm for hope again and again because our shepherd, our Lord, has experienced the very worst that life has to offer and has come through death to life. We have learned through the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Psalm 23 is a promise of God's unending, unfailing presence. Our lives have a purpose. We discover that purpose through our discipleship and our service. And our gospel reading for this morning, we hear both the invitation to the promise and the promise when Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who carry heavy loads. Take my yoke and learn from me." We know that the way a yoke works is that two animals or two people are paired together by a beam that connects them. And together, working together, they are able to carry a much heavier load. I think that is such a beautiful, powerful image when we think of the gospel reading when Jesus says, "Take my yoke." Jesus helps to carry our burdens when we come to Christ for help. God's ever-present love is a gift. The Lord, our shepherd, guides us, finds us when we are lost, and saves us. And verse 5 of the psalm tells us that the shepherd is our host. I especially like the translation from today's English version that is printed in the bulletin. "He prepares a banquet for me, welcomes me as an honored guest, and fills my cup to the brim." Think of those words when you receive the bread and the cup today. God is the faithful host, the one who is always there when we return, the one who goes out to look for us when we are lost, the one who leads us to life with a sense of purpose, the one who knows us completely. And in God's household, there is a place at the table prepared for each and every one of God's beloved children, no matter how fearful, how scarred, or how broken we may be. And this morning, as you receive the bread and cup, may you find rest, healing, and a renewed commitment in service to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.